you gonna do, brother? We about to run wild with a style like no other. So somebody call Brodus Clay mother and tell her Richard runs on the men like Ed Lover and Doc Dre. What Scott say, what they hang on every word like it's something that the Rock say. No JR, but they talking wrestling. We bring the noise with the boys, son, we Dalton Castlin. So masculine, oozing machismo, mutton chop shop, Gran Turismo. No free throws, snout hoops and heels. It's Steve Ross retirement, give you the super feels. Straight shoot is real, drop a pipe bomb. Get ready to bowl like the Rock's right arm. So stay calm, tranquilo. I'll go Naito and give him destino. And we know that you chumps ain't ready for the heartbreak runs and the Cuban Jannetty. They drop a heavy tag team it like Teddy. Long going strong with the heat like Eddie. So steady like when Taker walked the tightrope. Spaz like Taz with the mic and a tight choke. Dirtiest player in the game with the eye poke. 1988 Macho Man on a line of coke. These other cats are a waste, they boring. Illegitimate sons like Jason Jordan. And Richard runs never give him respect unless they going on air with a broken freaking neck. So bounce like Papa Pump's pecs. Every time they get down, they bound to catch wreck. Y'all don't know nada, they the Okadas. You're the Washington Generals, they the Globetrotters. A whole lot of podcasts in the scene, but Richard runs running wild as the cast of your dreams. So it seems these two is too sweet. Bullet Club pulling up with schemes to delete. So retreat, we steal, we cheat. But I never lie, I swear on these beats. And these two got some styles for you. But what you gonna do when they run wild on you?
Oh, hell yeah. It's the Big Dog Red Titus. And you're listening to the Running Wild Podcast. Because if you're trying to run wild, this is the place to do it.
Do you want to let everyone know that you get it? Do you not want to be a Melvin? Well, then listen to the Running Wild Podcast. And if you don't, you know what you are.
I'm the last real man, Silas Young. And if you're any kind of man, you'll be listening to the Running Wild Podcast.
Hi, guys. This is Mandy Leon, and you're listening to the Running Wild Podcast.
This is Sam Adonis, El Hudo de las Chicas, the CMLL, and you are listening to the Running Wild Podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a very special episode of the Running Wild Podcast. We're coming to you just hours after SummerSlam. Wanted to get into a NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 4 and SummerSlam review. We've got the home audience, me. I'm on location, but not at SummerSlam in Rhode Island. And, of course, I've got my co-host alongside me.
Yes, sir.
You were lucky enough to be in attendance for SummerSlam. Before we get into the shows, we've been to a couple of them down there, or you've been to more now than I have. What was it like? I saw like really long lines getting in, at least for the pre-show. What was it like for you getting in?
Nope. Literally walked right in the front door, walked right through the metal detector, walked right online for food, right to my seat.
So it's just like Comic-Con.
I got there at 6:15. Maybe I'm really upset that they threw on Rusev and Almas first, like way early. But I guess that entices people to get there at 5 o'clock. But that wasn't happening, so I got home a little bit later. You know, I got there when I could. So yeah, I mean, nothing. Like we were like, what the hell? Walked right in the front door. So yeah, that was pretty convenient actually.
It's nice. Maybe we should keep that in mind for next year. Or for yeah. Mania. It's just one of the, it's like Comic-Con. They actually tell you that you shouldn't show up when the doors open, that it's better to wait half hour because there's always like, I'll say, excited fans who get there like an hour early so that the line is super long before you, before the doors open. So that's really cool.
Yeah, and I mean, we've experienced that multiple times in the past with this. So yeah, this was definitely, you know, we got right there, we parked. In 10 minutes, we, you know, walked right in the door, so it couldn't have been any better getting there. We'll talk about NXT, and then we'll get into the rest of that.
Sounds good. Once again, I think NXT, I mean, just as a show whole, altogether, I mean, I'm always enjoying the NXT events more than the bigger shows.
See, this time I disagree a little bit, and you know, maybe it's a little tainted because I was there, but I really enjoyed SummerSlam. I thought most of the matches were just good, or they further and or they further the story and gave us something just to kind of nibble on before we could really sink our teeth into. So I don't know. I really enjoyed both of them, but you know, I don't know. I think I enjoyed Summer Slam a little bit more this time.
I think I'm just getting to the point where for me, at about 2 hours and 45 minutes, I think I start to get a little antsy with anything.
Yeah, and see, so this this might have been the quickest 4 hours of my life. I don't really know if there were some combinations going on or whatever, but this, it flew by. I looked at the watch, like, oh, it's 8:30. Oh, it's 9:30. Oh, it's 10:30. Like, what the hell? So, yeah, I don't know. I really, you know, it flew by.
At home, it did feel, though, like, so I guess 9:30 is about when Brian and Miz went on. And it felt like the crowd was a little tired, because I feel like if that matches the opener, like, people are hot for it, I think, more than they were.
See, I disagree. I think maybe it didn't come across that way on TV, but people were nuts for that match.
On TV, it felt like people were tired at that point.
No, like, you know, Shinsuke, Jeff, they were a little bit quiet. A couple other points, like, you know, some of the triple threat, just for a little bit, they were a little bit quiet. But for the most part, it was crazy. It was, I don't know, the loudest SummerSlam that I've been to. And I think this was 3 out of 4 or whatever. So this was the loudest one for me.
I don't think anything will ever get louder than the Highway to Hell SummerSlam for me. So, all right. So the first match on TakeOver, we had Undisputed Era versus Mustache Mountain. I don't know. This was really good. I mean, for me, like, I've got it at, I mean, I know, whatever, in terms of ratings and stuff, like, I got it pretty high. It might be one of, on the night, it probably was my favorite match. And maybe of the weekend. But I'm also going to say that I'm horribly... I basically, like, am angry about certain outcomes. So that also affects the way I might enjoy a match. I can't... If I really like somebody and they lose, I can't say to you, I thought this match was better, because I'm going to be angry that they lost. So...
And that's understandable. You know, it's always better when your guy, your team, whatever wins. So that makes it a lot easier to accept the goodness or whatever of the match, the quality of the match. So, but yeah, I completely agree with you. This match was awesome, and it's really become like a thing now that whatever the tag match is, just kills it. You know, when they just put on like real tag team matches, and they let them have 20 minutes or whatever it is, and they just kill it every time. DIY, AOP, Revival, you know, it just goes down the line. So now to see Undisputed Era, Mustache Mountain, you know, the crowd at first, I'm not sure they were like super familiar with Mustache Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as the match went on, obviously, Mustache Mountain won them over. So that was really good. That was cool to see. And, you know, like you said, they killed that match. It was good to see Undisputed Era retain. And then we got War Machine, the War Raiders, come out and just destroy them. And, you know, that's cool, because now they're heels. And that's kind of what they should be, as these big monsters. People were clearly impressed by their moves. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see people become more familiar with them.
Yeah, I've seen them do that in ROH. They do the combo power slam, and then... And then what's his name? Hansen just immediately dives out. It's so quick. I mean, it's not like Nick Jackson's crazy moonsault through the rope thing to the outside, but it's still a crazy sight to see, you know, close to 400-pound man like jumping out that quickly.
Like when Rose threw him up in the air and Hansen caught him, like they were like, what? And he dove, you know, that added to it. Then they hit the leg drop from the top. So, you know, they were certainly impressive. And I'm sure the NXT universe is, you know, can't wait to see what they do.
So now, does this mean that Undisputed Era are faces, or are we just not looking at it that way? It's just like the cowardly heel.
Yeah, and I think NXT does a better job, obviously, than anything of just, you know, sometimes they're able to just blur that line. Like, all right, people cheer for him as people very well, so they can do whatever they do. People are so that's just not them, like, the blatant, like, you know, feels like they're not really doing anything super villainous. So I think that's a good way to kind of keep that. And, you know, now they're facing these big beasts. They should be a little bit of the underdogs.
Yeah, it's, my God, it's so crazy to just step back for a second, and I'm sitting there watching Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong, War Machine, or War Raiders, and Adam Cole, well, later, but just all these ROH dudes. It's just, I think I said it to you in text message, I just want one of them back, like in Ring of Honor. It's just crazy that, nothing against them, like I don't want them in NXT, but I selfishly want them.
It would be nice to have
just one.
Some of those names. Yeah.
Just give me one of them. Preferably Dijak. Cole.
You can have Dijak.
Hey, I'll take him, man. Please. They're not using him.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
And it's Dijovic, isn't it?
Dijakovic, yeah.
Or Dijakovic.
Which, like, it's funny, but if he's going to be, like, a supreme, like, you know, European guy, like, I'm superior than you, it kind of helps, you know?
Yeah, you know, like, look, my team was in the, my home country's team was in the World Cup finals, so, well, I mean, it's almost like they made his name Croatian, and Croatia made it to the finals. But that name change didn't happen until that happened, dude. Somebody was watching the World Cup and goes, you know what?
Yeah, all these Croatian dudes have an itch on the end, so.
Give him a Croatian name.
I mean, it's NXT, so it's not Vince. It's someone. It must have. It makes sense. Or maybe it was him. Maybe that's his real name. I don't know.
No, it's not.
Okay.
His real name is Chris Dijak.
Okay. Yeah, so.
The beauty of doing interviews on Skype and seeing real names sometimes.
Enough about guys who aren't on the
all
show.
All right, fine. All right, then we had EC3 versus Velveteen Dream. Dream comes out. He's wild, wearing Call Me Up Vince pants. I mean, that obviously had to be... In my head, I like to believe that he did that on his own and nobody knew about it and he just did it. I mean, he had to clear that with somebody, right?
Maybe. Maybe he just did it and then was like, yo, this is my, like, these are my tights. Like, is that okay? But I don't know.
Well, anyway, this match... I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I didn't get the same feeling for me. Like, I wasn't wowed by Dream in this match the way I was when he wrestled, like, Aleister Black or... I forgot who else it was that he really had a great match against. I thought it was a good match, but I just wasn't overly into it.
Yeah, I mean, it's... It was good. Yeah, I agree with you. It wasn't like the craziest Velveteen Dream match that I've seen. And I think that's, you know, because of a little bit of a clash of styles. EC3 isn't that guy. You know, EC3 is like the superstar. He's not, he is good in the ring, but he's not usually the guy to put on like that wrestling clinic, you know? So it was good. We talked about last week how we kind of thought Velveteen Dream needed a win here. And, you know, he got one. I really like that. He needed something. And I can't wait to see, you know, where that continues to go for him.
Do you think that EC3 ever goes up to the main roster?
Why wouldn't he?
I'm just wondering.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll stew down there in NXT for a while longer, though.
Maybe a little bit. He is, like I said, he is a superstar. He's a guy who, you know, he has an aura about him. He has the charisma. He can cut promos. So, you know, it makes sense.
I just love that they kept him as EC3 also. I mean, the whole idea that he's, what, Dixie's nephew, right?
Yes. And I mentioned on Twitter during, like, he should have come out, both Team Dream should have come out with Dixie Carter's face on his tights. I think that would have just been, nobody has to say who it is, you know, but if you know, you know. But, you know, Call Me Up Vince was also brilliant.
Yeah, that was really good. And then after this match, we got to see somebody in the crowd, Matt Riddle, as we've all been kind of predicting. I don't know if you saw the picture of him from behind. But
absolutely, I did. And that man is the best. Continue.
He's wearing a suit.
With a hat.
With a hat. As
of course, that's just vintage Matt Riddle.
But then he's wearing freaking slip-ons. Like, not even flip-flops.
Slippers, slides.
Yeah, slides. I mean, just with a full suit and a tie. I mean, just unbelievable stuff.
Now, for you, someone who hates seeing him wear shoes in the ring, how epic would it be if this guy just never wears shoes? Hall of Fame ceremony, suit, flip-flops. Just, that's his thing.
You know how I feel
comes
about
out,
it.
Comes out to the ring to cut a promo in his suit and flip-flops. I think that would be one of the coolest, funniest things. Just, man.
There's
a fire alarm?
Yeah, there's a terrible fire alarm where we're staying that gets set off really easily, and it actually yells fire when you're in the house. Oh, luckily, I'm outside, but inside the house, it actually goes fire, 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 and beeps. So it's good times. You know, I don't like the no shoes thing. It bothers me tremendously. And
it's not a gimmick. It's a lifestyle, man. The thought that guy just, like, maybe he doesn't own shoes. He just travels barefoot everywhere.
I mean, I'm totally into, like, not wearing shoes. I'm not wearing shoes now, and I'm outside. I go outside. I've walked outside of my house with no shoes to the car. I'm not above that. But I just, in wrestling, for me, like, if you're not wearing shoes, I'm attacking your feet. So, like, the fact that that's not the story of every match that he's in.
It is sometimes, and maybe you try to attack his feet, and he catches you in an armbar, and you're done. So, you know, there is cons to all of that. But on to the bigger issues. Matt Riddle is now a part of NXT, and I don't know. Like, we've been fans of this guy. We've loved this dude since literally day one in Evolve. It's really cool and kind of crazy to see his rise this quickly, and, you know, that guy just has an aura about him. He has something special, and I cannot wait to see what he does on NXT.
Yeah, he's a quality guy, man. He seems like he's just a legit good guy. I'm happy for him. That Kenny Johnson, I can't put that guy over enough. I mean, his mini docs are amazing. Maybe it's also because you and I are briefly also included in this one as well. But just seeing Riddle come out, you know, you and I talked about
his emotions.
Yeah, I mean, you and I talked about it, but it was a bit of a surprise. I was a little surprised that he wasn't going to be around anymore. I thought he'd be at the September show. Maybe we'll still hear that he's there, but they said that the MLW show, the Joey Janela Lost in New York show, was his last real show.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what Evolve said the whole time, that he was going to be there for their August shows. And he was there for their August shows. You know, we were a little like, oh, well, I'm surprised there was no, like, farewell speech. But that's, you know, that's just not... That's not really Matt Riddle, and I think as you saw how emotional he got in the interview, and then that we got that interview, I think that was the reason why, you know, maybe we didn't get one there. You know, keeping it a little bit of a surprise and then this way you get that farewell video, and you know, everyone can show their appreciation anyway. He's not dead. You know, he's just going to NXT, and everyone who watches Evolve probably watches NXT. So, you know, it'll be perfectly fine. And, you know, it must be like a surreal feeling. So, like, last night, NXT is Gabe, Gulak, Johnny, maybe Drew, Matt Riddle, Keith Lee, Chris Hero, it's TJP, Cedric. It's just Evolve.
Yeah, it's like you were at you didn't get into the high school that everybody else did first year, but then sophomore year you transferred in, and now all your boys are there.
Okay, sure. But yeah, I don't know. Like that must be cool. Like it's last year. We were all, you know, in little nightclubs in Queens and random spots all over the place. Now, we're all here ready to kill it and be big parts of this company. So, really cool to see. And, you know, all of those guys are awesome and just, you know, continue to have great success there.
Man, we could get Riddle Lee again. Riddle Ono.
And, like, Riddle is the first guy like that in NXT, you know, so it's going to be cool to see how they use his MMA style down there, but there's not really another guy like that. There are some physical guys, there are some blah blah blah, but then Rock and Ronda, you know, Riddle is a legit UFC guy, so that's going to be really cool.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it. So then we had the North American Championship match. Adam Cole defending against Father Rick O'Shea. That's a little deep cut if you're watching Lucha Underground randomly this week. I don't know if you've been seeing it, but they had this whole angle where Johnny Mundo is basically he proposed to Taya, so they're gonna get married, and there was a father in the audience, and his name is Father Rick O'Shea. It's just
brilliant. Nice touch.
I kind of wish more companies would do that when a guy leaves, just randomly have somebody there. Not as bad as like fake Razor and fake Diesel, but it's good stuff. So this was really good. I mean, this is another one of those matches that maybe the outcome bothered me, because I really thought Cole was going to win. And not just at the beginning, but like as it went on, I was like, oh, Cole's going to win this. And you know, even when he was chanting, like, you're not special, you're not special, in his face, like, just great stuff. I mean, Cole does those little things that, and the commentary picked up on it so well. They were like, you know, they were basically saying that, you know, he's getting in his head by doing this, and that later on in the match, it could, you know, lead to him doing an extra move that he doesn't need to do, and that could cost him everything, and it really brought me into it.
Yeah, except they don't know Ricochet, and they don't know that he's an alien and not a real human. That guy, the Hurricane Rana, where he just like horizontally jumped over the ropes. You know, he's a freak of nature. I'm happy to see that he won. Adam Cole is Adam Cole. He could do anything. Like he could go to the main roster. He could go for the heavyweight title. It doesn't matter. No matter what that guy's doing, he is the man. So I'm not worried about that. I think it was good to give Ricochet the title. And, you know, Adam Cole was the first champ. So now, you know, that reign finally ends. And we get Ricochet as the champion. So, you know, someone's coming after him. Maybe Velveteen Dream again. But, yeah, so that was a really good match, and that was, you know, we both love Adam Cole, we both love Ricochet, so that was just one of those matches where it didn't matter who won, just tear the house down, and that's what they did.
Agreed. How long do you think Mark Henry and Kevin Owens sat in their seats?
4 seconds, like usual.
I just don't even know why they
did. What a random combo.
I didn't even know that Henry was still officially with the company.
Oh, yeah, he's around. He's just not wrestling. But, like, oh, yeah, hey, we have you two guys. You want to go sit in the audience for some of it? I don't know. Last year, Kevin Owens hung around to watch Adam Cole's debut. So, you know, maybe it was something along those lines. Maybe he stayed there. But typically, as we know, even as we saw with Riddle, you know, they're not there for long.
Oh, yeah. I just think it's funny that they'll show that spot, and then later they kind of show the spot on camera again, and you're like, where is that dude? Yeah. Like, what's going on?
And sometimes, especially with NXT, they'll just cycle people in and out of those seats. So they'll just keep showing you the same seat, but with a different person. Like, remember the first time we were there, it was Ric Flair and Asuka. Then it was someone else. Then it was like Shane. You know, they just kept sprinkling it out. So.
Well, then we had probably my wife's favorite match of the weekend, NXT Women's Title match. Shayna Baszler defending against Kairi Sane. I think both of us said that, I don't know, I don't want to misspeak. I think I thought that Baszler was going to hold on to the title because of the four horsewomen thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was completely wrong. My wife was super happy to see the Pirate win. I liked that there were callbacks to their original match in the Mae Young Classic and everything. Like, just a lot of good like story building in the match.
Right, and that's doing a great job of telling that story. You know, I'm sure this wasn't like necessarily the plan at the beginning of everything, but when you can use that kind of stuff, and like you said, when you can call back to it, it makes it a lot more fun and enjoyable. So I really like this match. I'm right there with you and your wife. But I would have liked to see Baszler win. I'm not the biggest fan of Kairi Sane, but she is good. And, you know, I'm intrigued to see what they do because, again, they're doing such a good job of setting up all sorts of stories. And not just for the here and now, but surprisingly, some things for the future. We had pictures with the Four Horsewomen and Paul Heyman yesterday. I don't know if you saw that. Baszler and one of the other girls was wearing, I'm sorry, I need to learn their names, was wearing Paul Heyman girl t-shirts. So like, that would be a really cool thing if he like shows up with all four of them at some point. So, you know, I'm that stuff is going to be really cool when it happens.
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting myself hyped up. I hope it really does happen. They're really going forward with it. I know that Marina, I believe her name is Roddy's wife. And I know she's been training in NXT. I'm not sure of the name of the other one. But, you know, after the developments, and we'll talk about that SummerSlam, it's interesting to see how that four horsewomen pairing, if they ever have that four horsewomen UFC versus four horsewomen WWE ever takes off.
Yeah, like, and it was, just briefly, it was so strange. Baszler and the other girls were in the crowd during Rousey. And then the Bellas and whoever get in the ring with her, I was like, wait a minute, that's what the hell? Like, we have the other three, her friends and four horsewomen are here. Why aren't they in the ring? I was hoping they just came out and beat the crap out of the other three, but they didn't. But anyway.
Yeah, that was a little weird, and even, I don't know if you got to see that there was like a backstage thing with the Bellas, and they were asked, like, are you guys going to be at Evolution?
Yeah.
You know, and they were...
Yeah, all right. Forget about SummerSlam. Anyway, right. I was just mentioning the Four Horsewomen. We'll get to all of that.
There's nothing else, right? NXT ended there?
Yeah, you wish it did.
I mean, I spoke about it before when we did previews. I'm going to have a hard time talking about this match.
I'll take it. I'll take the reins from here. No worries.
You describe this one.
So we had what was a really enjoyable, physical, crazy match, in my opinion. I really enjoyed it. And right when the finish game, when Johnny handcuffed Tommaso to the lighting structure, I guess, on the stage. And then hit a kamikaze knee into Tommaso's face that may have knocked him out, but Johnny tumbled into the stage boxes and all the equipment, and he hurt his knee, and he just couldn't stand up. Tommaso was able to roll off the side of the ramp, and, you know, unconscious or not, his arm was holding him up. So yet again, for the second straight time, Johnny handcuffs Tommaso, but not enough to get the win. This is the super clean cut babyface trying to play that game and going too far, and it cost him. And I love that story. I think that's a really, really good use of Johnny and Tommaso. Like, you have a guy that everybody hates, and you have a guy that everybody loves. And everybody wanted to see Johnny hit that knee as much as Johnny did. So we're all to blame, too. Everyone wanted that to happen. And, you know, whether people hated that finish or not, I thought it was really well done in the storytelling. And it furthers this storyline. It furthers both of their characters. I thought it was really well done.
I guess it was well done. I mean, I'm with you. I wanted Johnny to win so bad, and I couldn't. This felt like, not the same, but there was that stretch where Cena was champion, and he just would avoid losing. Like the time, I forgot, he got super kicked or something and fell on top of like Shawn Michaels in a four-way for, no, fell on top of Orton for a pin. And escaped with the title. It just kind of felt like that, but worse, because I hate Ciampa for hurting Johnny Gargano. I just don't see... Okay, I felt like their blow-off was the match with the crutch. And then it went further. And then he lost the match when where he had handcuffed Ciampa. Where does this go? Does Johnny ever win the title? Or, you know,
well, and you know, in reality, this isn't about the title. Like, this has nothing to do with the title. The title just happens to be the prop right now. It adds a little bit to it, but this started way before there were any title aspirations, I don't know that he needs to beat Tommaso for the title, but at some point he is going to beat Tommaso Ciampa. And, I mentioned the comparisons to you with Kevin Steen and El Generico. And yes, I know there were extenuating circumstances that led to it being maybe a little more lengthy than it should have been, but that feud lasted forever. And every time Steen got the better of him, and it just made you want to see Generico beat the crap. By the end of it, I wanted to see Generico win. And, that's the emotion and the mindset that they're going to draw from me. Then that's amazing. You know, I love Johnny a lot more than I like Ciampa, but I love Ciampa as well. So it's really fun to be able to say now, like, damn, like, when Johnny comes back, woof, it's going to be a lot of fun. So I can't be too mad at what they did to set up anything else. Johnny just got the better of himself, and it cost him. So it's not even like Tommaso beat him, you know?
How long do you think they keep? Do they keep Gargano off TV for a while to sell the injury?
I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if he's not there for a little bit. It also wouldn't surprise me maybe if he, it sucks because, like, you don't want to see a guy just, like, not on TV for no reason. But, it wouldn't shock me, like, if somehow Tommaso ended up, like, getting called up and then Johnny shows up and, ruins his moment or, you know what I mean? Something along those lines.
Tommaso is the most evil man. I mean, he's up there with Steen. I don't know who's worse right now in my head. Maybe.
Well, the things that Steen could do in ROH and just the freedom of the indies makes him a little bit more evil. But Tommaso is holding his own for sure.
I hate him. I just want there to be the next takeover. Like, I just want Johnny to beat him already in the worst way possible.
And I don't know that we get that on the very next takeover, so, you know, I really don't know.
I mean, does he have to beat him in Brooklyn? Like, do we wait till WrestleMania takeover for it?
Brooklyn 7.
It feels like
Yeah, I don't know.
But a great show. I mean, obviously, if Johnny had won, it would be the best show of the weekend. But still a really strong show. I really enjoyed it. I was emotional. I got into stuff. Really for every match except for the EC3 Velveteen Dream.
Okay. And even that one I was into because I'm just a very big fan of both of those guys. So that helps.
You know, I was a little bummed about Cole losing the title, but hopefully this means he gets to. Maybe he'll be the guy to, maybe he'll take the strap off of that jerk jump.
Maybe.
Maybe Johnny just needed some more help from his friends. They could have called up, like, a Chuck Taylor, had him come out and be like, yo, I played a bigger part in the wedding than you did, bro.
Imagine. Man, Chucky T. That's the dream. You get signed just to be, like, Johnny's buddy. Help him out for a show.
I think he tweeted out that I think he said something like that Johnny was going to lose badly.
We know he is a dick in real life, right?
Yeah. It was really great. He was I can't find it now, but I think he said something like it was definitely something like, you know, I think Johnny's going to get hurt bad tonight. And I was just like, God damn, man. You're terrible.
Maybe he had a little bit of inside info because Johnny did get hurt bad tonight, right? So, yeah. So, excellent show. Another takeover in the books. Just, it is what it is. It always is good. Go out of your way to watch The Last Man Standing, in my opinion. The Cole Ricochet, the tag match.
I mean, the whole thing, yeah. Really. I don't see a reason.
It's a two-hour show. Just watch it.
Yeah, that's the greatest part about it. You know, like, you can say, like, these are the best matches, but at the same time, like, the entire... It's not like any of the matches I was like, oh, man, this sucks.
Right, because Baszler and Zayn was really good, too. So, just watch the whole show.
All right. And now on to SummerSlam. So, we had our kickoff match, as you spoke about earlier, was Almas and Vega versus Rusev and Lana. And I was a little. I think beforehand, I'm not sure if I called Rusev on this one, just because I feel like he needs to get something back. But Almas won, which I think is still a great. I mean, both of them kind of needed to win this. I feel like this is lowering Almas a little bit.
But Almas is new, so like he needed it more, you know. And Vega and Rusev didn't lose. Lana lost, so. Vega beating Lana was the, like, that was pre-made. You know, Lana is inexperienced. Vega is awesome. So, that's exactly what they should have taken advantage of, and that's what they did. This match just made me excited, which is a crazy thing to say, to see Almas and Vega in Mixed Match Challenge. Like, that's what I thought. Like, yo, I hope they win Mixed Match Challenge, and then they get to fight Braun and Alexa. I think they would win. I think that would be a fun match. So, whatever.
Do you think that Vega wrestles more now, or do you think this was just like for this feud?
I don't know because while I don't want to see her wrestle, like she's so good at being a manager.
Yeah.
But this just adds an element to it that, like, when needed, she can and will beat your ass too. So. You know, like when she's doing her Hurricane Ranas and all that kind of stuff to the guys during the matches, then it's a little more acceptable when you see her actually beat the crap out of someone else in the ring. So she's just really good and adds such a necessary element to Almas. I'm so glad she's around. I'm so glad she's there. And, you know, they're one of my favorite acts since she showed up. So, you know, it sucks they were on the kickoff, but they were still on SummerSlam. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see Almas go for, like, the U.S. title soon, maybe.
Almas Nakamura would be pretty cool, but, you know, I don't know how feasible that is at the moment.
Well, yeah, because we do have Randy Orton involved in that feud.
Yeah, and they're both heels, or all three of them are heels, so that would be a little difficult.
All right, so that match is, it is what it was. It wasn't amazing. It was fine.
It was solid.
I'm a little upset that Gulak didn't beat Cedric Alexander here.
Yeah, me too. I thought this would have been a nice... Maybe they go another way on 205 Live. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, I'm with you. I really thought that Gulak was going to win, and I was a little... we got there like as this match was like starting. We were parking and stuff, so we didn't really get to see it. Waiting online for some food and stuff. So, you know, I was happy that he didn't win because I wasn't like sitting down to be able to see him get the victory, and I would have loved to see that. But yeah, I think he should have won. But Cedric is good, so you know we'll have to see who shows up on 205 Live or who comes out to challenge him next.
I just feel like Mustafa Ali should be the next champ, like should be champion soon. So I thought that having Gulak take the title, he'd be a good heel transitional champion until you get Ali to finally overcome.
Well. Here you go. The next person who should step up to face him is probably the man of the hour, Lio Rush. And I think that makes a ton of sense.
Okay.
I think Lio Rush actually would be a good Cruiserweight champion because just with his persona that he's come across with so far on 205 Live, I think it's, no pun intended, money. And, you know, I think that match would crush something at WrestleMania or, you know, whatever.
True. I mean, I also don't feel like... I mean, whatever. I know the kickoff's part of the show, but is the kickoff part of the show? Whatever. I mean...
It is and it isn't. You know, I think we do this every pay-per-view, but,
it's my
you know, a lot of people are there, so...
Yeah, I just...
More and more acceptable.
You know, it's like, look, you had tickets. You didn't get there at 5. I didn't have the heart to tell my wife while we're on vacation that we had to be home at 5. So I kept my mouth closed about it. But I don't know. It's just some of the, especially with the Cruiserweights, I just like to see them on the main roster a little bit more.
Right. It would be nice to see them on the main show. And I think, you know, they're still trying to build that brand. So I think, you know, give it a little more time and then... When these guys are a little more established, a lot more people know them, then, you know, I think that'll be the time. Similar to, you know, how they kind of timed out the women's evolution. It didn't happen overnight, so.
I like the idea of a small man's evolution. So then the last match on the kickoff was the B team.
B team. Go, go, go.
Yeah, they're really
B-team.
Fun.
Go, go, go.
I mean,
did you hear the music? Did you get a chance to?
Yeah. Their music.
Yeah, it's pretty outrageous, and I don't know what the problem was in the arena, but the pre-show, the volume, oh my god, it was like JoJo was screaming. The music was blaring. Any bump in the ring was like the loudest thing I've ever heard. Luckily, they turned it down when the show started.
Yeah,
someone
was weird.
Able to realize. But man, like, you couldn't hear a thing.
I don't know what was going on. It was weird to have like production issues from WWE.
Yeah, but that aside, this match was fine, and I really liked the finish. I thought it was pretty creative. You know, the Revival had Axel in the roll up, and whatever, Dasher Dawson pushed Bo Dallas, and he fell backwards over them, and like that kind of turned them over. To where now Axel was pinning. So I thought that was just perfect for the B team. And I actually thought that was a pretty creative spot. So I enjoyed that. The B team is really hot right now. So, I mean, I'm glad to see them get the win. They had a nice segment with the Miz backstage later on with Total Fellas, but with a B. So Total Bellas.
That was amazing.
Miz and Murs. Like, they, you know, those Bo Dallas is really a funny guy, apparently. So, good on them. And, you know, this has been fun to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, I don't know how much more juice you can get out of it. But
there is a reckoning coming in the AOP at some point, right? Like that's
like they it reminds me of Slater and Rhino, you know, the way like you're like, what the hell? And then you're like, okay, you know what? I actually like this.
Right. And I think these guys are even more over and funnier than Slater and Rhino were. So, you know, yeah, Slater and Rhino were good. And these guys, I think, took it up a little bit. So it's a shame that, like, this spot, and I know Fandango is hurt, and maybe that's, you know, something that happened that caused this. But, you know, it sucks that, like, Breeze and Fandango aren't, like, in this spot because they were awesome. So them with the titles could have been really good, too. But, you know, maybe down the line at some point we get to see them.
How much longer is Fandango out for? Do you have any idea?
I think he's out for a little bit. I can't remember. I think it was like 6 months or something like that, his injury.
Damn.
I think he's out for a little bit.
I thought the Revival was going to win here, man. I thought before someone gets injured, but...
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we both predicted that. But like we said, B-Team is just on fire. I think that was the first time that they had that B-Team music. I'm pretty sure I never heard that before. So debuting new music, you know, that's a good time for them.
Oh, agreed. So then the show proper kicked off with Dolph Ziggler defending against Seth Rollins. They both had seconds, as we saw.
So now, let's just address this really quickly. Dean Ambrose comes out, and then Seth Rollins comes out, correct, right?
Yeah.
That's how it should be. And then Dolph comes out. And then they play Drew McIntyre's music, and he's like, they walk out to Drew McIntyre's music instead of Dolph's. That doesn't speak well for Dolph's future, in my opinion. His contract, I think, is literally up. He said, you know, we'd have to wait and see, like Sunday or Monday, what happened. I'm very curious to see if he resigns and he's around, or if we get. You know, maybe Drew just smashes him tonight and he's gone. I really don't know.
And then he goes to Ring of Honor.
Well, New Japan, all that stuff, I think would be perfect spots. But, you know, it'll really be interesting to see, because I think this past run that he's had with Drew has been really good and enjoyable. And I've loved Dolph since day one. I don't really want to see him leave. But, you know, I understand that he really hasn't been pushed, so... I can't blame him. And it wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing to watch him in PWG and New Japan and Ring of Honor, wherever he goes. So it wouldn't be the worst thing, but, you know, not something I really want to see.
Imagine he shows up in the all-in overbooked, over-budget Battle Royal.
Well, there you go. You never know. But this match was really freaking good.
Yeah.
It was everything that everybody wanted. And I think that's a little bit of, like, the story for this show. I think the matches that should have been longer and what they were, they were. And some of the ones that should have been quick were. Which, so I didn't mind that, and we'll get to that as we go through. But, yeah, this match was awesome. Exactly what it needed to do. And Seth got the win. You know, a couple of sick suplexes off the top, a reverse suplex.
Oh, that was nuts.
I really like the ending where, you know, Dolph was setting up for the super kick, but Seth caught him with the super kick right before. Then he hit the curb stomp or the blackout or whatever it's called now. Perfect. The crowd went crazy. And I can't wait to see Dean Ambrose turn on Seth Rollins tonight.
I thought it was going to happen. It almost felt like they were, like he was brooding behind him. And I almost felt like it was going to happen yesterday.
It could have, I really thought, but I think, you know, it would have been a little too, like, let's not kill this moment. Let's have the moment, and then tomorrow we'll get it. I just think, like, it makes so much sense. You know, he new look, new Ambrose. Oh, you thought I was coming back to be on your side? No, I just wanted you to win, so now I could take it from you and cost you like you cost me. It just makes perfect sense. Ambrose is ready-made heel right now. His look is fantastic. The crowd loves him. Don't ruin anything. Turn him heel and let's go.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I mean, yeah, I can wait, especially because of what happened later in the night. Having the turn, I think, wouldn't have worked.
Exactly.
All right. So then we had the SmackDown Tag Team Championship match, the Bludgeon Brothers versus the New Day. My favorite part about this, as I told you before we started taping, was I was watching it in Spanish, and listening to the guys freak out when anybody got near the table was priceless. I guess I'm okay with the ending. I don't love DQ finishes, but I can see why, you know, like that he felt like they just couldn't win at that moment. So,
you know, right. And, you know, I think I enjoyed the Big E spear, Xavier Woods with the elbow drop to the outside. So there were some cool spots. And I think the crowd was definitely disappointed in the DQ. But, like, isn't that the point? Like, aren't they supposed to be very angry with the Bludgeon Brothers? And that's kind of the vibe that I got. I didn't get the vibe of, like, oh, F this. I kind of got the vibe of, like, F these guys. And I think that's kind of the point. And maybe some other people felt differently. But in my mind, it was like, oh, well, these guys are heels. That's kind of what they should be doing, right? Like, you now hate them.
Yeah.
So I think that helps.
Oh, man. One last thing. The Spanish commentary, they were just... When the Bludgeon Brothers came out with the masks, they were like, they should keep them on. They're better looking with them on. Like, yes.
That's but, good.
It's, you know, yeah, I mean, I'm okay with it. You can't have every title change at WrestleMania. I mean, at SummerSlam. Like, that's not how it works. So... You have them go on.
Don't tell Raw that.
Yeah, well, SmackDown seems to get it. But, no, this made sense. And, you know, obviously I think we continue to have issues between the two teams. Then Money in the Bank. So did you get to watch this, like, on TV?
Kind of, but I kind of also, like, just fast forward.
All right. It was just, It was weird because it just felt like I thought you'd get something. So Owens trying to do something, even if I was even when after the final bell, I was like, oh, maybe he spits at him or something, and he gets and you know Braun goes to like almost get DQ'd but stops himself, you know, something, because the stipulation was that right that if. Braun mm-hmm. lost by count out or DQ, then he would lose the briefcase. So I wanted a little bit of a tease in some way. You know, even if it was like Owens grabs a chair and tosses it at Strowman, you know, and curses him out, like something. Instead, he just got destroyed. And I just felt like the extra stipulation of the DQ... count out is something that you want to tease when you have a match like that. Like when Orton could have lost the title by DQ a couple years ago, you know, there was a tease that he might do it and then he didn't. I felt like they could have had that here just for a minute. I mean, it would have taken 15 seconds and I think it would have made the story make a little bit more sense.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. You know, there was no need for the stipulation, basically. And, you know, that doesn't really make sense. But again, this was one of the matches where Braun has killed Kevin Owens this entire feud, right? Like it's the entire feud is how scared Kevin Owens is. And just every turn, Braun is there to kill him. And I just think that made sense again. Braun is pissed. Braun is angry. Braun wants to cash in. Braun wants to be fresh. He went out there. He killed Kevin Owens. That was it. I'm the biggest Kevin Owens fan there is, but I wasn't that upset by it. I was like, okay, yeah, that's Braun being Braun. And sometimes that's how it should be. Now, we got like four squashes on this show, and we'll get into them. But, you know, maybe that took away from this a little bit and just made it seem like, oh, whatever. But I thought it was what it should have been.
We didn't mention this before, but all the pre-show matches ended in a roll-up. We had three roll-ups on the kickoff, and then you have and now you have, you know, well, we had a DQ in the tag match, and we'll talk about that later, and then we had squashes too. So I just felt like they did kind of overuse at least some of the finishes.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, and then in a weird match, well, not weird, the match itself wasn't weird, but you had Charlotte defeating Carmella and Becky. Side note, this wife, stat wife's second most interesting match of the weekend, and really hates Charlotte in a way that I cannot believe. It's amazing, but hates her like
well
deeply.
I think in a way that the entire Barclays Center disliked her yesterday. So firstly, her and Carmella's pink and black gear was obviously a tribute to the Anvil and, you know, their friend Natty. So I thought that was pretty cool, and that was a nice little touch by them. But yeah, this match was really good. The crowd was so into Becky the entire time and booed the crap out of Charlotte when she won, and then booed when they hugged. And then when Becky turned, the pop in that place was insane. People went nuts, and like everyone was chanting Becky, Becky. It was, man, it was an awesome moment and a really cool moment for Becky. And, you know, a heel Becky is something that I think clearly everyone wanted to see. So I think everyone joins me in saying that, you know, can't wait to see what happens there.
But I just feel like this reminds me a little bit of like Roman Reigns stuff-ish. I mean, in this spot, couldn't you have had Charlotte do something obnoxious, like ask Becky to put the title around her waist, and then that be the final straw that makes Becky upset?
Yeah, but then Charlotte's the heel.
Yeah, but I mean,
I don't know that they thought people were going to boo Charlotte.
See,
and I don't know that people will continue to boo Charlotte everywhere else.
Okay, so you think it was just, all
right. Right, and I think this was Becky, but I think, you know, Charlotte kind of infringing on her match and then pinning her in the match, that was the last straw, you know? Like, you're taking away my opportunity, firstly. Now you literally beat me and take my title? F you. And I think that's what we got. The crowd felt it, and you know, I can't tell you, man, that pop was my god.
But then they focus on Charlotte crying at the end, which was another great moment of the weekend for Stat Wife, going like, come on, just get off the screen, go to the back already, you won the match, just leave. Stop crying. And I was like, this is amazing, because I feel like that's as we've spoken about before, when Stat Wife goes one way, I feel like the universe goes that way. And I don't know.
And they did.
Now she's upset that I'm talking about her, but on a side note, I'm getting real stink eye.
They had the same reaction that she did. So, you know, it's not surprising, but yeah, this match was very good. It was probably Carmella's best match ever. I really enjoyed it.
No, yeah, I agree. It was. I thought it was really good. I was upset with the ending. Like, if it would have just ended without the Becky turn, I think it would have been trash. Not trash,
yes.
But...
Well, yeah, especially with the crowd reaction. Yeah.
You know, because, you know, it almost feels like at this point, like, come on, you don't need another one, Charlotte. You know, it's almost getting, like, Cena level slightly, but...
Yeah, they said this was her 7th. Come on. Yeah. She's wrestling for, like, 3 years.
She's 10 away from being her dad.
Yep, and I'm sure she will, but... Yeah, so Becky turn, absolutely epic. Great job. Don't ruin it.
All right, then we got the WWE Championship match, Styles versus Samoa Joe, where at this point, I think when they were coming out, maybe I texted you here or after this match, I didn't know what was left. I thought there were only two matches left. But wow, this match took a turn that I did not see coming at all.
Yeah, I mean, so firstly, this match was really good. Like, really, really good. This is what everyone wanted from AJ Shinsuke. And, you know, like, I was saying during the match, like, they were definitely backstage or wherever, like, yo, we never thought we would be here. These are two TNA guys, you know, ROH, TNA, whatever. But these are two TNA guys who are now wrestling for the WWE title at SummerSlam. That's pretty cool. And it showed, you know, these guys are definitely friends, you know, kayfabe, but it was really cool because you could tell the moment meant something to them, and they showed because it was awesome. And then, you can get into the ending, go ahead.
So then you know, Joe kind of randomly just gets up on the table, grabs a mic, and then says to he's, you know, AJ's wife and daughter in the crowd, and they're like singled out, and he says, you know, I know I promised you your dad would be coming home, but I don't think that's going to happen tonight, but I can come home with you and I'll be your new daddy. Oh my god, I got angry when I heard that almost.
Exactly.
I don't think I've ever, look, Joe's a really good wrestler, and I've always, I mean, I like his work in the ring, and to be fair, I didn't watch a lot of his TNA stuff, so I can't really comment, and I don't think I was as into him coming to WWE as you were, but this is the moment that now he's on Ciampa level, you know, like, come on, bro.
Yeah, this is where you got to see that ROH Joe, that Joe who was, Joe is gonna call you, that Joe. Like, that's, you know, this guy who doesn't give a damn. He's coming for you. He's coming for everyone. And you can't stop him. And so when he said that, the crowd's reaction was exactly yours. And I think everyone else's. And AJ's reaction was exactly what it should have been. AJ snapped, lost it, dove, knocked Joe through the barricade, beat the crap out of him with a chair, got DQ'd. Who cares? That's exactly what should have happened. And that means this is just the beginning. And I, for one, cannot wait to see what these two do in the coming pay-per-views.
Do you think,
because now, are you kidding me? Like, he just told his wife he's going to be her daddy. That adds so much fuel to the fire for the coming weeks on SmackDown, you know? The crowd chanting, who's your daddy at Joe? My God.
Oh, man. In New York, right, with the whole Pedro Martinez thing.
Pedro Martinez, exactly.
Like, I don't know if there's another town you can do that in where the crowd immediately...
Yeah.
Right, because there's history there with that phrase, so it was just amazing. Right. I'd love to see somehow Pedro Martinez get involved in this. It would be just amazing.
Like, they go to him for like a video, he just sends it in.
He's like, come on.
Hey, here's your daddy.
Yo, I honestly...
He's wearing an AJ Styles shirt.
I think I need to go back and watch when he said that, because I can't even... In my head, I still can't understand how he... I can't even understand that he said that. But just...
Yeah. He's owned him, man. That's what he was saying. Bad. Just, you know, not something you ever want to say, but hey, it happened, and it is what it is.
Crazy. Just crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, so this was fantastic. I loved everything about it.
Do you think that... Okay, so now, was his daughter's reaction kayfabe?
No. That was just perfect. Like, he picked her up and she was like, Dad, you're bleeding. You're bleeding. And like, then, like, he gave her the kiss and she was like, oh, Mom, that was... That, you couldn't have scripted that.
But
maybe they did. But if you can convince... I don't know. How old is that girl? Two?
No, she's not two.
Three?
I'm gonna...
I don't think she's that old.
Keep talking. Yeah, I'm gonna look this up.
Please look up AJ's daughter's age. But I don't know if that was... If
Yo,
that
by
was
the way, if you type in... If you just go... Like, at least on my Google, I typed in AJ Styles, right? You get... The first is AJ Styles' wife. Then you have AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe. Before I even finished it. Then AJ Styles' family.
Yeah, of course.
Let's see. Okay.
But yeah, I don't know that you can get a kid to react like that just on cue. Like, she's not a movie star. Like, her reaction was just everything it needed to be. It added so much to that moment.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to wonder, like, that's just amazing. Like, I wonder, I feel like Charlie would just be like, oh, Dad, you're bleeding. I'm not even sure if he would.
He'd probably, like, punch you.
So they have three sons and they have a daughter, and she was born, okay, so 2014. So she's same age as Charlie.
Really?
So she's just about October 8th. So she's just about to turn four.
Like, so if you...
Yeah, I can't convince Charlie. No, he wouldn't.
Exactly.
You can't even get him to sit down and eat something that he wants. You make him a sandwich and he goes, I don't want it anymore. And you're like, but you just asked me to make it. So there's no way I could convince him. So that's amazing. I mean, yeah. Some people might disagree with making your kid upset, but...
I don't think it's, you know, a possible thing to have your child unless they're just a savant actor, you know, just react like that. Say, like, maybe they said, oh, say he's big. And it wasn't, he wasn't supposed to be bleeding. I think he just hit his head on the stairs. So, you know, that was, oh man, it just added so much. Like, his wife screaming for him to stop, and that's when he stopped. And then the daughter to be afraid of him. Like, that you can tell that whole story. Like, you, Samoa Joe can come out and just say, like, look at what I made you do. Your daughter doesn't even want to see you. Like, oh man,
it's gonna be so good. All right, then we had Miz versus Bryan.
Another one.
I mean, like I said, I think I was saying to you earlier, maybe it felt like the crowd was a little not as into it, and maybe if it had been in an earlier match, or at least on TV.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, and they weren't insane for Bryan, but I think that's because so many people love The Miz right now. You know, there were just as many Miz like cheers and chants, I think. Personally, I was going crazy for The Miz, like, just because if he won, it was going to be great. And he did. And we can talk about this, but so now first things first, the video package, showing so the good NXT stuff from 8 years ago. Yo, this is the greatest story they've come up with in forever. Like, because we watched that NXT. We watched Daniel Bryan in ROH. We were at his last match. So to see him come to NXT, and this wasn't NXT, this was a game show.
Yeah.
And have The Miz as his pro. It was like, yeah, what the hell is this? This is like WWE versus the Indies. That's exactly what they were trying to tell us. And that storyline has never gone away. How epic is that?
It was really great. And I mean, I don't know why I didn't see this coming. Why I didn't see... I think I said I didn't care. Like, I would be happy with either guy winning.
Right.
I didn't get... I guess I didn't think they were going to keep going with it. Because it just feels like such a... It was smart. I mean, super smart booking. I don't know how to also say it. Like, I expected Bryan to finally get his hands on Miz and finally show him up, and that's not what they did, and it'll make it that much better down the line when Bryan does get the win, you know, because he was so frustrated backstage afterwards, and he was icing himself, and he couldn't believe that he lost that way, and he feels like his whole comeback is not worth it now.
So now, like, and let's... People are going to be upset about these, DQ or cheesy finish, but like the two matches that I was like really looking forward to on the show were Joe and AJ and Miz and Bryan, and they're both going to continue. How can you be upset by that?
Oh yeah, no, not at all. And I mean, just
like, you know, this was the beginning. Maurice being there with the quote unquote
with the baby. Oh, you don't think the baby was there? That's smart,
bro. The baby is how old? Six months? You think it's going to be in the Barclays Center? Yeah, good luck.
I'm sold on that. Good job, WWE. All you needed is the bassinet there, or the carriage, and I was like, the baby's there.
And then she hands him the brass knucks. He knocks out Bryan. He gets the win.
Imagine.
The Miz is so good, and this just adds such a good layer to this rivalry.
Couldn't you see someday... I just wish she was almost old, like Monroe was almost old enough to have done it, right? Like, imagine she was like 3, and
she gives him the brass knucks.
I mean, what?
And then Maurice immediately beelining out of there with the carriage.
So good,
good stuff. The Miz, you know, we talk about Almas and Vega. Maurice may have saved the Miz's career, and then he just took it to another level. Much so needed good. That he got the win here. Bryan is gonna, you know, come back on him at some point. We know that, but this man, this feud, I want them to just like. I'm hoping at some point, man, this is a WrestleMania main event for the title. Like, it should. That's how it should be. Miz beats AJ at some point. Bryan wins the Rumble. Comes back for Miz. Let's do it.
That'd be such a hot... Oh, man. Yeah, I'm totally into this. And I don't know if you noticed the little appearance, which was kind of cool, but the person who was helping Brian ice his head down before Brie walked over was New York independent wrestler CPA.
I'm sorry. You don't know if I saw this? I texted you CPA with
exclamation
points. Oh, yes.
Okay, okay. All right. Now I remember.
Yeah, very, very briefly. But I was like, oh, shit. There he is. So now... Here's another problem I have with this backstage segment, or I guess the one before with the Bellas. So the Bellas say that they're going to be out there for Rousey, but not Daniel Bryan. Isn't that kind of fucked up? And because then he's like, oh, no, I don't want you to stay here. Go watch Ronda. No. What?
Because you'll do it down the line. They have to save it, right? Because point, Brie comes out.
I understand, but logic.
Yeah. It was weird. I was like, wait, where's Brie? If you have these first row tickets.
Correct.
That suddenly only appear when there's during one match. I just love the idea that no WWE star could sit and watch an event for 4 hours. They're like, nah, it's too long. We gotta switch them out. Alright, so then we have Balor and Corbin.
Oh my god. So Corbin is in the ring. Balor's music kind of hits, the lights go out, and you see the fog. And I said to our friend of the show, EJ, I was like, yo, it's going to be the demon. And then, boom, like the place went insane. And I think that's the beauty of not seeing the demon for a while, that when you do, holy shit. And I think Corbin's reaction was, like, what the hell is this? I didn't sign up for this guy. And then Balor squashed him. And that's what should have happened. Like, the demon should have come out and killed Corbin. That's exactly how it should have been. So, like, again, this was a squash, but I loved it.
Yeah, this was a really good squash. This was, like, you know, it made me think of, like, Warrior versus, like, Honky Tonk Man. You know, just the entrance overpowers the crowd, and then you just...
Think about what you just said. The Warrior was the bigger guy. You know, Balor is the smaller guy, but with the face paint, it doesn't matter. And it was great.
I do love
face paint looked, wow, sick.
I mean, I know it's the demon and everything, but there is a part of me that just chuckles that, like, Corbin's like, wait a minute. This guy's got face paint on now. Now I'm scared. You know, like,
right. Who the hell is this guy? Yeah, it is funny, but, you know, that's what it is, so. He goes to another level with that face paint.
Oh, and just interesting fact, my wife might leave me for Baron Corbin. Used to hate him.
He likes his bald head.
Oh, man. He came out and she was like, wow, he looks so much better. He's a handsome man. And I was like, what is happening here?
It's a good thing she's not sitting next to you at the moment.
No, she's probably in there like texting away about how much she likes Baron Corbin and how much she's in. You know, I've got this long hair now, and she wants me to go Baron Corbin. I don't know.
Yep, definitely. Well,
you know, he stole my look with the vest and everything. So I mean, that's probably part of it too.
Now you dress the same.
Next match,
Shinsuke.
Shin and Jeff.
This was what it was.
Yeah.
The music was cooler than anything else.
Yeah.
It was cool to see Shinsuke, you know, but it was what it was. The crowd kind of popped for the music, which was a little bit strange. I don't really understand that unless you just wanted to make people hate him, which is okay. But yeah, that was just a little strange.
Yeah, I didn't get that. Walk out, I don't know. It was fine. It's just, you know, at this point, you need a match that... You need a match where everyone's going to come down a little bit before the end.
Yep.
Then you had Bliss and Rousey. Did you watch this one?
No, not yet.
Okay. The only thing I didn't like was, like, Rousey, like, shouting, like, you know, to the crowd, like, are you ready for a new women's champion and stuff like that? And I just felt like she could have done some more, like, you know, get the arms up. I'm doing it now that nobody can see me on radio. But, you know, like throwing the arms up, like or slapping the turnbuckle, that kind of stuff that really gets people, like visually gets the crowd, you know, like you're yelling and you're in a big arena. Not everyone can hear what you're saying. it was the only kind of like rookie-ish thing that I felt was going on there.
You know, okay. From the live perspective, I'll say this: like I couldn't hear exactly what she was saying, but like you know, you could kind of read some lips on the screen and that sort of thing. But her mannerisms were there a little bit in the crowd. Maybe like they were zoomed in on her face a little bit, and she wasn't like violently throwing her hands up. But I think she was. A little bit, at least to get the crowd involved. And I just think her intensity and like her kind of just like Alexis, not on my level, that confidence definitely exuded. So, you know, again, this was kind of a squash, not kind of a squash. This was a squash. And it sucks that that happened to Alexa. She's been so good and she's such a good character. But if you look at the size difference, and you look at the fact that Ronda is a legitimate killer.
Yeah.
I think that's how it should have gone. I don't know. Like, it was a funny match. It played well with Alexa's heel characteristics. And it played great with Rousey's badassness. Her sitting down and just inviting Alexa to beat her up. And Alexa couldn't. You know. I can't be upset at that. And Ronda was clearly thrilled that she won the belt, you know, hugging her husband and kissing her husband and all that. She was super excited. News came out earlier this week that, you know, they were kind of already like discussing an extension and she was loving being there. So I can't be mad at any of that. She should be the women's champion, in my opinion. God only knows that there's nobody that should beat her. Like, I don't know ever. At least at the moment. But yeah, I am so glad I was there for this. It was an awesome moment. And like, it was kind of surreal. Like, hey, we just saw Ronda Rousey win the WWE women's title. That's pretty freaking cool. So yeah, I loved it.
The only thing I don't get is, when she's got her in the arm bar and she does that weird, you know, Alexa's able to do that. Like,
yep.
Just have it end there. Like, because then she transitions it. The only thing I don't like about her finisher is, like, her arm bar is the arm bending the right way. Like, have you ever noticed that? It's just like...
Well, but that's how an arm bar is, except for Becky. But, like, in UFC, that's an arm bar. You're, like, dislocating the elbow. Like, you're pulling it. You're still pulling it, you know? Like, you're still extending it.
Okay, I thought it was like Becky's. Like, the disarmer to me is that looks legit, you know, like bending it right. The wrong way.
And there's, you know, there's multiple ways to do it. But a lot of times in the UFC, you'll see that exact way that Ronda does it. You know, because you're yanking it, you're pulling it out of the socket or dislocating it.
That makes sense.
Right, and I'm sure it hurts because she's a professional and I'm sure she knows what she's doing. So it's believable, you know what I mean? And it sucks, again, for Alexa, but I don't really think this hurts her at all. I just look at it like, wow, Ronda's a badass. I don't look at it in any negative way towards Alexa.
Fair. I really enjoyed that too. And then we had the main event. So you had Brock Lesnar and defending against Roman Reigns. Before the match starts, Braun arrives and says he'll cash in. He's not a coward. Which is kind of funny. I get why they did it, but like in a way, like it would make more sense if he's not a coward and he's such a monster. You know, just be like, whoever wins, like, I got you tomorrow night.
Or I've also heard people say, like, okay, you're not a coward, then why not just make it a triple threat?
Yeah.
To that, I will say that that's not smart. Why put yourself, like, you're not a coward, but he's also not dumb. Why put himself against two people?
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's just said, like, I'm giving you a heads up, basically. I'm not just going to run out here and cash in. I'm going to tell you I'm going to cash in, and I'm going to do it. It kind of sucked that he didn't. Because the crowd at that point was... So, it's kind of funny. We're sitting in the crowd, right? And we have a great view of the entranceway. So, you can see there's a cameraman standing on the entranceway pointed at the entrance. So, clearly someone's coming out, right? Like, obviously. So, they start the introductions, and I just yell, Braun! And this guy in front of me is like, oh, I think he's going to cash in. And I was like, he's coming out right now. And And then Braun, the music hits. That guy's face was the Brock Lesnar upset fan. Like, that was it. He was like, just looking at me like, how did you know? And I'm just like, yeah man. That's Running Wild Podcast. Listen to us. It was just like, oh, okay, yeah. You could clearly see that guy, but I'm glad you didn't, because it made me look like I'm a genius. But, yeah, so that was pretty fun. But, yeah, I don't know, man. Like the match was so quick, and I get it. That's Brock Lesnar. That's how his matches go. But I can't wait to have a main event without that guy, because I want to see a Universal title match that means something and that lasts for a while. Like, you know, we talked about it a little bit on the way after the match, but like, Roman had to win this match. He had to. If Roman doesn't win this match, it's over for Roman. That's it.
Yeah.
Even if Braun cashes in, I think it hurts Roman, because then he's not the champion. And then what does he say? The same stuff he's been saying for the past 2 years. Now he can come out, he can be the champion, he can be cocky, he can get booed. Maybe it leads to something. But I just think this was necessary. It had to happen. And I'm not that upset. Like, seeing Roman as the Universal Champ might be a cool visual. I don't know.
I mean, it's going to be interesting tonight to see what happens when...
Oh, they're going to crap on him.
Yeah, I think it's going to be... But I'm, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I really wish Roman hadn't won so quickly once Brock got back in the ring, because it really felt like, because it really more felt like Brock lost.
Well, and yes, and you know, thanks to Braun, that's what, so first of all, Brock launched that briefcase. I don't know if they showed it on TV yet.
It broke the screen.
Yeah. Like, he launched it from the ring high as hell and decimated the front entrance. Like, God forbid that slips or he throws it the wrong way, that's killing somebody. So I'm very lucky that it went straight, because my God. But the visual of him just launching that thing was so cool in the arena. But I think he had to beat him so quick, because otherwise Braun should recover. This way Braun was out of it, you know, just got the F5, got hit with the chair, or the briefcase, whatever. So I think that was why that happened that way. But it just sucked that it ended so quickly. But it was a good little physical match at first. Braun being out there really got the crowd into it, because they expected him to cash in after Roman won. So Roman won, and then on the screen you could see the All Rights Reserved, the end of the show, and it was just like, God damn, all right, let's go get the hell out of here. And you know, it really sucks, because the rest of the show was so good that leaving on that note, it makes you feel like the rest of the show wasn't that good. But, you know, having some time to digest and just accepting that, you know, Roman really had to win. And this was a good little tease by them to make sure that the main event wasn't just booed out of the building. So, smart move by you. And, you know, we'll see what happens, where it goes from here.
Yeah, I think you're right. It was smart. I mean, I don't know if you would have, other than Braun lifting the title, I don't know if you get the entire audience more, like, with a bigger pop at the end, but
no way.
People were cheering for Roman because he won, and they thought he was going to lose next, so whatever. And then they ended the show, so that, you know, nobody else is
right.
Like, okay, let's before everybody finds out what's going on, let's turn this off.
Yeah, let's just get rid of this. So, I mean, it was what it was. Yes, people were cheering Roman, and like we said, we'll see what happens going forward with that, but. You know, Vince has to be a little bit happy. He got probably a better reaction than he would have ever gotten for Roman winning the title. So, you know, good on him.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the end of our review for the SummerSlam weekend. We noticed we got a lot more listeners this for the preview, so hopefully you guys are with us. Thanks for joining us again. Make sure to follow us on social media at Running Wild LWOS. I'm tweeting out a lot more from there. Also, you can follow us on Facebook at Running Wild on Wrestling. You can follow me on Twitter at rich_laconi, and where we're usually kind of teasing each other. Now we've got a new development where apparently private messages are posted on the internet when I get upset about things, like Johnny Gargano losing.
That was just too good. It couldn't not see the light of day.
If you don't know what we're talking about, I'm not going to tell you. Go to Running Wild LWOS on Twitter, and you'll see my very real reaction.
Instant reaction.
All I know is like my phone starts like dinging because people are like, I'm like seeing people respond to something, and I'm like, what's happening? And I go over to the Twitter account because we share it, and I'm like, this guy. I think the most action we've gotten on Twitter in a while was just me getting dumped on. But make sure you guys check out, we're brought to you in partnership, of course, with pwponderings.com, rohworld.com, and lastwordonprowrestling.com. We're featured on the Wrestling to the Max Network. And I just want to remind you guys that you've been listening to the podcast that is just too
sweet.
For Rich and Runs, this is the host of Ring of Honor Wrestling, Ian Riccaboni, signing off. Be sure to join them next week for another episode of the Running Wild Podcast.